Welcome back to the home of explanations. You've got More Than Money Radio. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor with 780 years of experience. And yes, I recently had a birthday, and no, the 780 did not become 781. Lots of folks ask why. I go, it's a mystery. It's one of the mysteries of life. It's like, how can it be the first day of spring and you get 6 or 7 inches of snow? It's a mystery. It's got to be a mystery. Otherwise, if I grab Dean DeVore really hard. Now, see, we don't want to do that. It's a mystery. Welcome back to More Than Money. If you've been with us since the 8 o'clock hour, you know that we've covered a tremendous amount of information this morning. Some really great questions. Fantastic folks willing to help. And we are willing to help you as well. If you're just joining us, maybe for the very first time, you should be aware that More Than Money was created to give you the very best information that we are able on the financial topics that are most important to you. You are always our number one priority, and our highest mission is to serve your best interest in your investments, your income taxes, your estate planning, or any business of your life questions. We had a question off air about Social Security. If you do not take it at 62, is there a penalty for waiting? The answer is quite the opposite. Your Social Security benefits will rise between ages 62 and 66. It's about 0.5% a month. They go up every month. You don't have to wait a year. They increase gradually. And then between 66 and 70, they actually go up 8% a year. Again, divided into monthly increases. So someone who might retire at 62 and get, say, $1,500 or so a month, if they were able to afford to wait until they were 70, they might very well find their monthly benefit to be nearly double that. It might be it will certainly be in the $3,000 range. It might be in plus or minus, but nearly double over the course of 8 years is a rather impressive result. If it fits, it depends if it fits your financial goals. 610-720-7900. We go back to the phones. We talk to Bill. Bill, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Gene.
How may we serve you, sir?
This is Farmer Bill up in Nutrapool.
Fantastic. Good morning, sir.
I heard some of your, I caught some of your Thursday night show.
Yeah.
And if I heard you correctly, you said someone in the 15% bracket, capital gains would be taxed at zero.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Correct.
How does one determine that?
Oh, it's done, and again, most folks who many years ago did their tax returns themselves and did it by hand, they were fairly familiar with when they got to the kind of the last part of the 1040. It was go to the booklet and look up your tax bracket, and between a certain income and a certain income, it was the zero. Between the next income and the next income, it was 10, 15, the highest bracket now being almost 40. Most folks have never even seen the booklet these days. They may need to go online, or if they have a professional tax preparer, the professional tax preparer can give them the chart. Income tax rates are progressive. So very low income folks pay zero. Very high income folks pay 40%. And in between, there are several brackets. And the 15% bracket, are you married, sir?
No.
If you're single, the 15% bracket is, and I'm going by memory, I think it goes up to about $50,000 of taxable income. And if you're in the 15% bracket and you have a capital gain, it's reported on Schedule D, the net tax on that will be zero.
Well, I do my own taxes, and I work through the worksheet on page 43 of the booklet. Mm-hmm. Qualified dividends and capital gains tax worksheet.
Yep.
And I assume that was the correct way to do it.
You are talking to a financial advisor with 780 years of experience, but I'm neither an enrolled agent nor a CPA. So once you start talking about pages and forms, my eyes glaze over like everybody else's. So by the way, Bill, feel absolutely free to call our office directly. Daryl may even actually be in the office at this point. and ask that question, or the form question at any rate. That number, by the way, is 610-740-7007.
It's too late this year. I sent my taxes in.
Well, then we'll get you next year.
But I'm pretty sure I followed down, and it's tough, but you can do it.
Hopefully. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Gene.
And John's looking at me quizzically because I just gave the wrong phone number. He's like, going, what are you doing? Come on. Our office number is 610-746-7007. Yeah, you would think the guy would know his own phone number. Yeah, you would think that. Last night when I was just finishing up plowing around midnight, I'm going, I don't remember my phone number. I hope I remember it tomorrow. That didn't happen. 610-720-7900. That lets you join us this morning, and we're happy to serve you. Fair number, Darrell apparently is in the office. I got a nice email from him. Gentleman writes, be careful with your Roth conversions. The added income can raise your Medicare rates. Okay, we'll be careful about that. Gentleman writes about the qualified longevity annuity contract. Couldn't you just keep the $200,000 in your IRA? And if you make it to 85, buy an immediate annuity and accomplish the same result. Very interesting observation. The answer is no, not quite. No, not quite. And here's why. If you keep the $200,000 in your IRA for the 15 years between age 70 and 85, you might have enough money to buy an immediate annuity that pays $70,000 a year. You might not. The qualified longevity annuity contract guarantees that you will. So is it exactly the same result? The answer is no, because the annuity contract guarantees that that will have that result. Your result will be worse or better, or exactly the same. There's no way to know until we get there. Because if you're not doing it in a guaranteed format like the annuity contract, it's going to be what it's going to be. It'll be dependent on how successful you are at managing that $200,000 block. The second reason it's not the same, you wouldn't accomplish the same thing, is that the $200,000 left in the IRA is still subject to the required minimum distribution. That will require an annual distribution over those 15 years of about $7,000 a year off of the $200,000, which means over 15 years you will have already pulled out and paid tax on. The tax part's the part we're unhappy about, really unhappy about, is you're going to have what? 15 times 7 is 105,000 plus or minus. It's actually going to be higher because the required minimum distribution rises as you get older. So you won't have 200,000 left. You'll have 150 or so. So very interesting. I like the suggestion very much. And actually it wasn't a suggestion. It was a question. Couldn't you try this? And the answer is you can, but you don't get exactly the same result because it's not guaranteed and it is taxable. 610-720-7900. John's taking one call right now, so you be patient. Email, I work for one of the main hospitals in Allentown. I'm no longer employed there. I'm trying to get the phone number of our pension company. The hospital states they do not give it out, that I can only go through them for information on my pension. Is this legal? Interesting. The answer is probably yes. It is probably legal. In a pension fund, there are a number of different players in the game, so to speak. There is, there could certainly be three. Four. There's the employer. The employer is putting money into the pension. There is the investment group. That's who's managing where the money is held and invested. There's the what's called the third-party administrator, the TPA, the folks that are kind of in charge of all the administrative piece of all that, making sure the rules are followed, et cetera, et cetera. And then, of course, there's the employee. In many cases, especially major employers, they end up being their own administrators, so to speak. So going directly to, especially if it truly is a pension as opposed to a 401k or a profit sharing plan, but if it truly is a pension, having an employee go directly to the pension fund is almost unheard of. I don't know that it's illegal, but I don't know what you would gain. So it's very typical that these questions are answered through through HR. You don't indicate that you're having trouble getting answers or that you've even tried asking the questions yet. So ask the questions of the hospital, the HR people. Hopefully you get exactly the information you need. If you do not, that's a very different question. And then you kind of, that's a head scratcher. I fully expect, by the way, that you will, unless there's just somebody in HR that day having a bad day. And that happens. Come on, that happens. But I fully expect that you'll get your answers, the appropriate answers. And again, if it truly is a pension fund, you have zero influence as the employee over the investments. So your questions are almost always going to be administrative. And from a benefit standpoint, what am I going to get? So ask the questions. If you run into a pickle, shoot us another email next week and we'll see what we can do. 610-720-7900. We go back to the phones. We talk to Ronald. Ronald, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How may we serve you?
I'm 80 years old.
Wonderful.
And I have a CD that for 5 years, it only has two more years to go, mm-hmm. which is very low interest. Mm-hmm. And then I have another $60,000 in a money market, of which I get only $12 a month. And I was wondering, you know, I've had a heart problem. I was wondering if I have to go in a home and I need the money. Is there any way I can you give me any suggestions of what I can do with this $60,000?
Ronald, we can. And each of the suggestions has pros and cons. I don't think there's anything perfect. I don't think there's anything out there that you would look at and go, well, that is exactly perfect.
No, I know that.
But some things that you might look at, depending on your health status, you might qualify for what's referred to as a single premium long-term care insurance contract, so that you could deposit the $60,000 into the long-term care as not as an annual premium, but as a one-time premium, and gain some pretty significant long-term care benefits off of that $60,000. And if the $60,000 is not used during your lifetime, it would be paid out at your death as a death benefit off of the contract. And later in your life, if you decide you changed your mind, you could take your $60,000 back. So a long-term care contract is a potential option. You do need to qualify. You need to apply. There are medical questions, so that may or may not be of great value. Are you currently, if you're only making $12 a month, it's certainly not as if this is supporting your lifestyle. You're not spending a great deal of money off of this, obviously.
No, I'm actually trying to. That's my savings.
Ah, very good. So you want to keep it extremely safe.
Yes.
One of the things that you might consider is that currently 10-year treasuries are paying almost 2%, which is not a grand number. I absolutely understand that. But 2% on $60,000 would be $1,200 a year, $100 a month instead of $12 a month. And it would be extremely safe and secure. There are other guaranteed accounts, but most of them require that you lock the money up for a period of time, 5 years or 7 years, etc. And I would not recommend that you do that. I think interest rates are, it appears they're going to start rising. And so even a year from now, you and I might be talking about interest rates at the bank at 1.5% or 2%. So I don't think you should lock anything in for a long period of time at the moment.
Yeah, I believe it. Well, I don't think I'm going to live that long neither.
God bless you.
I mean, when you talk 5 years, I think it'll be over for me in 5 years.
Well, God bless you, sir. I pray that you are 100% wrong and that you're still calling my show in 5 years and we're having grand conversations. But if that is truly your feel, if that kind of factors into your decision, I wouldn't be in too much of a hurry to do much of anything, because the differentials that you're going to see between $100 a year and $1,000 a year, if it's a relatively short period of time, they don't mean a great deal.
No.
And if you're taking more risk, you may end up causing yourself more heartache than it's worth.
Yeah, I'm getting too old now to play around. But I thought maybe it just kills me to get $12 a month.
I understand that, but if you took some risk, it would kill you even more to lose $1,000 in a month because an investment didn't go well. So where I'm sitting, from what you've told me, I think kind of leaving it in the bank for the moment makes a great deal of sense. If your health would permit looking at long-term care, that's great. If it wouldn't, I don't think you're losing a great deal. And of course, in the bank, you're gaining the security of knowing it's always there if you need it.
Okay, well, thank you for your help.
My appreciation for your phone call, sir. Be well.
Okay, good morning.
610-720-7900. God bless him. God bless him indeed. Speaking of God blessing him, recent visitors to our More Than Money office have uniformly made the following observations. There are two. Number one, by golly, that puppy is cute. And if you're not fully informed, we have I'm starting to think that she runs the place. We have a new mascot. Her name is Harley, and she's a chocolate lab puppy, and she is about the cutest thing I've ever seen. And I can say that because my three kittens at home, they're not listening. I don't let them listen to the show, so I'm not worried that they're going to get their feelings hurt. But she is adorable, and lots of folks come in. A lot of folks come in specifically to say hi to Harley. As Joanne is raising this 7-month-old chocolate lab and doing a fantastic job, very disciplined, and the puppy is just sweet as can be. The other observation is we are very full. We are very full indeed. We couldn't fit another employee in the place. We are full up at the inn. A couple things. Number one, thanks to all of you. So many of you who listen on a regular basis, also visit us on a regular basis. You've become clients and part of our More Than Money family, and that means a tremendous amount to us. You have no idea how appreciative we really are. But it's because of you that we've grown. I used to tease it was me and Diane and a German Shepherd, just because that's all we had. And some days I wasn't sure about this Shepherd. You know what I'm saying? You know, chocolate labs you can trust. That Shepherd had a look in his eyes. I'm kidding. But we started very, very small, and we've grown dramatically, all because of you. All because of you. Now here's what I need you to kind of process. In addition to allowing us to serve you, and allowing us to be part of your family, you part of ours, you have allowed us to grow a company from a whisper to we're full, and we're looking for more space, and we're looking to grow more. We've created jobs. We have added additional services for you. We have employees that we just absolutely value. And as so many of you have found how valuable they truly are. It is a blessing that just goes on and on. And there's no question, Diane and I are absolutely convinced, it's flat out a blessing from God. And you have been so instrumental in all that there are days that I get to the end of my day, which most often is a 7 or 8 o'clock at night, kind of the end of my day. People go, oh my gosh, you work a lot. I don't work at all. I just ask anybody. What I do can hardly be called work. It is just, Connie works hard and Diane works hard. Oh my gosh, Daryl, the whole crew, everybody works hard, not me. But I get to the end of my day and I realize that I've said thank you maybe 50 times. And lots of those are thank you to our friends and clients. Fair number of those are just, you glance to the heavens and you say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God. It is just, whew, what an absolute blessing. And our blessings just explode every time we get another opportunity to serve one of you. We are humbled and blessed. And thank you so much. And that came to mind simply because so many people this week came in, kind of looked around and went, wow, it's full in here. And it really is. 610-720-7900. I'm going to go through a checklist kind of quickly because we have, what, 3 minutes or so? 4 minutes, great. Last week we had 4 different questions about financial advisors. Hey, this one only will take annual reviews. They won't even talk to me if it's more than once a year. I about my head about exploded when I heard that one. Other advisors, people were concerned because they were asking too many questions. That's my head exploded because that's wrong. There's no such thing as the advisor asking too many questions. Most sales advisors are not, most advisors who are salespeople don't ask enough questions. Most of their questions are, do you have any money in the bank? Can you write a check? Do you have a pulse? That's kind of. So here's kind of a short checklist on how advisors are different, how advisors differ. There's about a dozen. I'll give them to you quickly. Advisors differ on the services they provide. Some advisors, quote unquote, are simply salespeople. They only sell one product or two products. Generally speaking, it's life insurance or annuities. They focus on that. That's all you're going to hear. They might have a little, hey, here's a mutual fund. They are not registered investment advisors. They don't provide all the services. Training. A lot of folks, again, the difference between salespeople and advisors. When I come on and say I will talk about your investments, your income taxes, your estate planning, the business of your life, the vast majority of advisors have nothing to say about most of that. They have a lot to say about how can we grab your money and invest it. But they may or may not have the training necessary to give you adequate counsel in any of those other areas. Experience, 780 years. Yeah, go ask anybody if they've got, I'm kidding. Come on, it's a joke. 35 years of experience. Mark, 22 years of experience. The list goes on and on and on. Experience is extremely important. Are they a fiduciary? Or are they a salesperson? A fiduciary is someone who must, by law, put your best interests first. Isn't that what you really want? Of course it is. Or are they a salesman, where their best interests may be commission-based? Annual meetings or less? Some folks come in and go, I would love to have had an annual meeting. I haven't talked to the guy in 3 years. Versus quarterly meetings or more. That's a business choice that these advisors make. And they're choosing to give you a lower level of service. And what I would call just in general philosophy. You heard me tell you moments ago just how blessed we are, and I do thank God for the blessings that she has bestowed upon us. We're blessed. Some advisors don't believe that. Some advisors believe it's all because of them. Some advisors believe that it's all, they didn't build their business. The federal government built their business. Our current sitting president is responsible for all the goodness in America today. I couldn't disagree more. So just a few, and by the way, there's more. So if you're looking for an advisor, there's lots of different issues, lots of different characteristics that you should take a close look at. If you have questions about picking an advisor or staying with your advisor or changing, 610-720-7900 or send me an email, gene@askmtm.com. We'll take your questions, comments, concerns after this on More Than Money. They say I must be one of the wonders God's own creation. And as far as they see, they can offer no explanation. Welcome back to the Home of Explanations, and let me immediately explain something that's very, very important. Gunther just gave you a heads up about the Covenant Christian Academy breakfast this morning. I am so upset I don't get to go. It is such a great breakfast. I'm telling you, they do such a fantastic job. The food is crazy good. Our good friend Daryl Oaken will be there undoubtedly. Altronics and Bob Heimbecker and always involved. It's a great school. It's a great organization. How they can afford to give you that fantastic breakfast for next to nothing. So go over there, take every human being you can get your hands on, grab your family, grab all the kids, get over there, have a fantastic time, enjoy a tremendous amount of breakfast. Annoy the living bejeebies out of Gunther while he's there. That's half the fun. And while you're there, please say a prayer of appreciation for their good work and the education they're giving these young folks. Spend a lot of money. Have some fun. Goodness gracious. 610-720-7900. We got an email from Jim who gives us a very good bit of information, and he's absolutely correct. We were talking earlier about reducing the required minimum distribution on your IRAs, and one technique that is relatively new that you can employ is called a qualifying longevity annuity contract, and that you can put up to 25% of your IRA away. And Jim notes, isn't there also a limit of either $100,000 or $125,000? And the answer is that is correct. The limit is $125,000. So in the example that we were discussing, it was $800,000 total. I kept saying $200,000. It was because it was husband and wife. Husband and wife. So they could absolutely do that. If it was just one individual, it would be limited to 125. There are other rules. Absolutely, you've got the contract has to be specific and qualifying, and there's lots of other things that you got to pay close attention to. But I trust that you will. 610-720-7900. Let's go to the phones. We talked to Doug. Doug, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Gene. How are you?
Very well, sir. How may we serve you?
Gene, before I ask my question, I'd like to make a comment. You have a disclaimer at the beginning of your show and during the show about being paid advertising,
mm-hmm.
and that may be to some extent, but I have to say that you truly provide a service to your listeners.
You're very kind, sir. I think
your lead off with how may we serve you is indicative of that.
I appreciate that.
Anyway, I have a $100,000 whole life policy that I've had for many years, fully paid up. The dividends have been paying the premium for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
The cash value is now a bit over $60,000.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't need the life insurance. We're quite well fixed financially. And I contemplated the idea of converting it to an annuity, an immediate income annuity.
Mm-hmm.
And I've dived into the numbers with the insurance company, and I have a cost basis of just about $24,000-$25,000. So
mm-hmm.
it turns out that something over 70% of the payout would be taxable
mm-hmm.
at both federal and state levels.
Yep.
And it works out to be just shy of $4,000 a year, which is not a lot, but it's not chicken feed either.
Sure.
But I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, gee, I'm going to have to pay a significant amount of tax on the proceeds from this. And when I leave this earth, the proceeds, which the value of the policy fully paid up is about $102,000 now, would be totally tax-free.
Yep.
And I'm thinking maybe this isn't such a good idea after all. And I was wondering what your perspective might be on that.
Yeah, Doug, it's a pretty interesting idea, and it applies to far more people than they might realize. As we get a bit older, particularly into our 60s, our children are grown, hopefully they're on their own, hopefully everybody doing pretty well, and our financial responsibilities have largely been met by our savings. We're now in a position where if we lose Doug, his wife will continue with good income, and she's financially secure. Does she need this extra $100,000? The answer is not likely. It's not that it's a dreadful thing to have an extra $100,000, but it's not necessary. So it's logical to start examining what alternatives might be appropriate. Converting to an annuity is certainly one option that you can explore. You have, and you have discovered that there are some pros and cons. The good news is I get an income. Nice, modest, but nice. The bad news is some of it's taxable. That's actually an end product of the life insurance contract that you've had has been quite profitable for you. You've put in a relatively smaller amount of money that has turned into a relatively larger amount of money over a number of years. And that speaks well of the life insurance contract. But you're absolutely right. If you don't need the income, you are kind of raising your hand to say, I want to start paying income taxes. And no, we don't. So the another option you might consider is the gifting of the contract to somebody in your life, somebody you care about who does need income, who might be in a lower tax bracket. It might be a child. It might be a grandchild. It might be a parent. It might be a friend where you can gift the contract and they start drawing an income. And because they're in a much lower tax bracket, perhaps even a zero bracket, rather than spending a fair amount of money on taxes, they would pay nothing. So that is one option. Another option would be to look at your financial objectives at your passing, and perhaps when both of you are gone, to say, hey, do I have some charitable pieces of the puzzle that I'd like to address? And if the answer is yes, then having this policy maintained, since it's not costing you anything out of pocket at this point, maintained right on through your passing, and then having the benefits go to a nonprofit, a church perhaps, or Habitat for Humanity, or any number of very worthy organizations. And they, of course, would pay no income tax, no estate tax. It would be 100% tax-free.
Mm-hmm.
That's a second option. So you've got, and of course, you've always got the option of just going, you know what, I'm just going to let it ride. I don't have to do anything.
Right.
I'm not in that position. So you can convert to the annuity as you've looked at. You can leave it stay as is. You can gift it to somebody who might more benefit from the income, perhaps at a lower tax bracket, and you might look at using it to change the beneficiary from whomever may currently be the beneficiary to a charity or a nonprofit or a church that you're committed to, so that when your time on this earth is done, somebody benefits rather nicely without Uncle Sam getting a penny.
I
so
see.
Off the
you,
top
you,
of my
you
head.
You made a comment that I wanted to clarify. You said gifting it to someone that they would not have to pay any tax.
Sure.
Do you mean gift tax or...
Or
will they not have to pay tax on
the cash flow?
On the cash flow, yeah.
Yeah, depending on to whom you're giving it. Let me paint the scenario that says that you're giving it to a 15-year-old grandchild.
Okay.
Their income bracket is such that they're likely in the 0% tax bracket. So they might be able to turn on this income stream, take it and pay no income taxes whatsoever, even though your cost basis is 30%, the quote-unquote taxable amount is 70. If the tax bracket that this child finds themselves in is zero, there's no tax. So in essence, they get the entire value of the cash flow. The gifting piece, yes, they would pay no gift taxes. You would pay no gift taxes either, done properly. But the cash flow, whether it's to a grandchild, it's often we see these gifted to parents where, hey, we're helping mom and dad out anyway. Why don't we gift this block of capital? It happens to be in a life insurance contract, but the capital itself is 60 grand. Let them convert it to an income, and in their bracket, again, they're going to pay zero or very little in income taxes, where in your bracket, you would pay a fair amount.
And I have a three-year-old grandchild. What about just making him the name beneficiary?
You can certainly do that. Absolutely. So that at your passing, this young child, hopefully by the time they receive it, 23 years old, not momentarily, but 20 years from now, yes, everything that they would receive would be income tax-free. Properly done, it could even be estate tax-free. So, yes, you've got a fair number of options here. There's, as they say, many more ways to skin the cat. So,
without paying the tax.
Without paying the tax.
Very good. Okay, that was very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, my friend. You take care.
You too.
610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com, morethanmoneyonline.com. Just got text from my daughter. She's getting ready. I'm going to guess she's going to leave the house here shortly. Heading up to Pocono Mountain East to be one of the four March sisters in Little Women musical. I heard a little bit of it a couple of weeks back. Fantastic, these four girls. Now, I'm a little prejudiced, not just because one of them is my daughter, but because the other three are. One is, just the sweetest thing and very close to Megan. And we wish all of them break a leg, that kind of thing. But Megan over dinner last night was telling her mom and me that some of the background about one of the scenes. Yeah, I'm going to take tissues. Some of it's going to be really, really powerful. So if 2 o'clock this afternoon or 7 o'clock tonight, you're out and around and you're going to Pocono Mountain East, Little Women, fantastic opportunity. You'll really enjoy it. You did, by the way, it's a rule. It's not a rule that you spend 16 hours a day watching basketball just because it's March Madness. It's not a rule. It's not. Plus, if you have a DVR, you can just DVR all of that stuff. Go to the show, get home around 5, you can catch up. Goodness. 610-720-7900. I think I've covered everything that I wanted to cover on that. Let's go back to the emails. Again, 610-720-7900. Young lady writes, my husband is 63, looking to retire at the end of June. We recently met with a financial advisor. I must say the advisor and everyone at his office was very nice. He gave us a proposal for my husband's 401k investments. We then met with one of your advisors. Came a little nervous here. Let's see where this is going to go. They're all nice guys, eh? I just don't know what they said. No, I'm kidding. We met with one of your advisors, and he knew exactly what the other proposal was when we told him the name of the company. How is that possible? We don't want to make a mistake or get scammed with our life savings. This is more than a little upsetting. Okay, actually, I'm pretty familiar with this situation. And the reason that the advisor knew exactly what the proposal would be was because we talked about this company prior to this young lady and her husband arriving. They had sent some communications and indicated they had met with this company, and I'm very familiar with this company. Sadly, not in a particularly positive sense, but I'm very familiar with this company. This company tends recommend annuities. Every client of theirs that I've ever been involved with has had all or the bulk of their investments in annuities. So this company is clearly, if they're not 100% driven by annuities, it's very close. In some cases, we've seen 70-80% of the investments going into annuities, 10-15% into mutual funds. But bottom line is that annuity is their middle name. Now, just to be very, very clear, are annuities good or bad things? The answer is no. They're not good or bad. They're tools. They operate in a certain fashion. And for certain investment objectives, they're fantastic. Or as my daughter says, they're great. Or is that Tony the Tiger? That doesn't matter. But for other objectives, they are dreadful, damaging, horrid investment tools. Wow. That's kind of harsh. No, it's not. Oh, my gosh. A simple hammer, a very simple 16-ounce claw hammer. Hey, we're building a treehouse. It's a great tool. Hey, we're cutting glass for, oh my gosh, it's dreadful, it's horrendous. That doesn't mean you go to your toolbox, take your hammer and throw it in the trash. It means that for that project, it makes no sense. Now, in our practice, we get to see a fair number of clients on a very regular basis, of course, and a fair number of new prospective clients on a very regular basis. There simply isn't an investment tool or product or fund or stock or bond or annuity or insurance that everybody gets. It just doesn't exist. It's because everybody's project is different. So this young lady's upset. I get it. I understand why she would be upset. It is a sales approach. This organization, they call themselves financial advisors. I might disagree. I guess technically they can do that. Again, I might disagree, but I think they're probably meeting the letter of the law, if not the intent. But if virtually everyone walks out with the same investment, it causes me concern. And when I know that the investment that is being used predominantly, if not exclusively, is one that can generate 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9% commissions, yeah, I've got real concerns. I've got real concerns. In this particular case, the recommendation was for a $150,000 investment in this particular annuity. Even on the low end of the spectrum of 4% commission, that's $6,000 commission. If you go to the high end, let's say it's an 8% commission on 150, that's $12,000 commission the minute the ink is dry. As opposed to a financial advisor who plus or minus might earn a 1% per year kind of a compensation. So you're looking at anywhere from 4 to 8 years of service, as opposed to how quickly can you write the check and get the paperwork complete and I earn $12,000. Does it cause me concern? It causes me concern. Does it make it wrong? No, absolutely not. On a case-by-case basis, can it be wrong? Absolutely. In general terms, is it wrong? No. In case-by-case, can it be wrong? Yes. Particularly if they have not explored all the available options. The conversation we had with Doug was a perfect example. Doug calls in with a question. He's got a certain situation. He's explored one option. I could say that's a good idea, it's a bad idea. That's not the discussion we had. It was, hey, there are certain other options, pros and cons, good news, bad news. Some are tax-free, some are not. Some require that you give up the entire value of the contract immediately. Some don't. Some require that you think 10, 15 years out. Some are immediate. There's pros and cons of everything, but if the response to your handyman is, hey, let me get my hammer to every single project at your house, this is not the right handyman for you. 610-720-7900. Gene@askmtm.com. morethanmoneyonline.com. Let me see as our time grows relatively short. Very interesting question. Very interesting. Gentleman writes, my wife has a 401k at her work. The company's doing very well. The company allows her to buy company stock with inside her 401k. We're thinking about keeping my 401k plan with about $400,000 invested the way it is. He does not tell me what that means. I'm assuming there's some sort of diversification, mutual funds, etc. And moving her plan, $310,000, into her company stock. Is this a good idea? And the answer is almost certainly no. Almost certainly no. Why is it just not no? I don't have enough information. They have $710,000 in 401ks. I don't know what else they have. I don't know what they have in the bank. I don't know what they have in IRAs. I don't know what they have elsewhere. I don't know what they owe. So I don't know if they're debt-free or if they're choking under debt. I don't know their ages. I don't know if they're if they have $700,000 in 401ks. It's not likely that they're 28. Now, if they were 28, that might change my answer dramatically. But if they're 68, almost half your money in one stock, this is a very, very bad idea. General rule of thumb, 5% in company stock. So in her fund, in her 401k plan, 310, if she had 15,000 or 16,000 in company stock, that's a pretty reasonable number. 100%, 300,000, it doesn't matter how good the company appears. It doesn't matter how well the company has done. The risks in terms of that kind of concentration are fairly high. Now, it's not likely this is a good idea. What if they came back to me and said, oh, by the way, in addition to this, we have $1 million in the bank in CDs. All right, now you're convincing me. Is 300 versus almost $2 million a ton of money to be concentrated? The answer is not really. Hey, we got 700,000. We're 28 years old. Okay. All right, you want to roll the dice on 300 grand at 28? Hey, you're young, you're foolish. If you're going to make mistakes, young is when you want to make them. Me personally, I'd prefer not to make the mistakes. Hopefully that helped a little bit. Folks, we have just a couple minutes left in this edition of More Than Money. We have covered a tremendous amount of ground today. Thank you so much to our callers, every single one. Very, very helpful. The emailers are fantastic. So many of them with great insights and always willing to help clarify and give us a little bit of polishing up and a little bit of insight. Absolutely fantastic. If you heard anything that you kind of scratch your head going, geez, I got questions like that. I would like to sit with a financial advisor that could help. It's pretty easy stuff to do. All you got to do is send me an email, gene@askmtm.com, gene@askmtm.com, or go on our website, morethanmoneyonline.com, morethanmoneyonline.com, and contact any one of our advisors, including yours truly. Or you can call. It's easy. 610. Watch me get the number right this time. 746-7007. 610-746-7007. Folks, thanks for being part of this edition of More Than Money. We'll see you next time on More Than Money. I don't know how you keep on giving.